Happy holidays, it's Brenda Lee.
This is Elvis Presley.
This is Mariah Carey.
This is Bobby Rydell.
This is Leanne Rimes, and you're listening to The Sounds of Christmas
podcast.
Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to The Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. I mentioned on a previous episode that I would do a bit of a deep dive into Billboard's Christmas charts, and it seems like this is probably a good time to get to it before Billboard starts putting out new charts for the upcoming Christmas season, and possibly new versions of previous charts requiring me to change any of the info that I'm about to share. The main reason I wanted to do this was to try to show you how Billboard's Christmas charts have changed over the years, which might explain some of the seemingly erratic ways some Christmas songs and albums chart while others don't. And to be honest, with all the changes over the years, it can be a little confusing. Hopefully, after I get through all this, it will all make sense. But I make no promises. I also want to say that this is by no means any kind of attack on Billboard. All of their charts have gone through lots of changes over the years, as have tastes in music, styles of music, and the way music is consumed. I wanted to make that clear before I dig in. So, now, let's dig in. The first chart published by Billboard was last week's 10 best sellers among the popular songs. That's a mouthful. It was a list of best-selling sheet music, and that debuted in July of 1913. Other early charts listed popular song performances in theaters and recitals in different cities. In 1928, the chart called Popular Numbers Featured by Famous Singers and Leaders debuted, which added radio performances to in-person performances that had been featured on earlier charts. In January of 1936, Billboard published its first pop chart based on record sales. It was called the 10 Best Records for the Week Ending, and then the date of whatever week ended for the particular info that they were surveying. It listed the 10 top-selling records of three leading record companies, as reported by the companies themselves. The big record labels at the time were RCA, ARC, EMI, and Decca, which dominated the market. Smaller independent labels existed, but their numbers and impact aren't known, and they weren't factored into this particular chart. In March of 1937, the Songs with the Most Radio Plugs chart debuted, directly competing with Your Hit Parade, which had started a couple years earlier. A year and a half later, Billboard's review list, The Week's Best Records, was retitled the Billboard Record Buying Guide. The change incorporated airplay and sheet music sales, which would eventually become the first trade survey of record popularity. In July of 1940, the first Billboard Music Popularity Chart was published, with separate listings covering retail sales, sheet music sales, jukebox song selection, and radio play. Among the list were the 10 songs of the best-selling retail records, which is the forerunner of today's pop chart, with I'll Never Smile Again by Tommy Dorsey, with vocals by Frank Sinatra, as its first number one. In November of 1955, a composite standing chart that combined retail sales, jukebox, and disc jockeys play charts, but counted individual records separately, was created as the Top 100 chart, with Love is a Many Splendored Thing by the Four Aces as its first number one. This chart would become the current Hot 100 chart, and that would start in just a few years. Around this time, several of Billboard's charts were discontinued. The jukebox chart ended in June of 1957, the disc jockey chart in July of 1958, and the bestseller chart in October of 1958. After July 28, 1958, the composite chart, the Top 100, was also discontinued, and the Hot 100 began the following week. Poor Little Fool by Ricky Nelson was its first number one song. Today, the Hot 100 combines single sales, radio airplay, digital downloads, and streaming activity, including data from YouTube and other video sites. So, where does Christmas music fit into all of this? Well, for the 1957 holiday season, there was a sudden increase of Christmas records that showed up on Billboard's charts. In fact, the popular music surveys charted 9 Christmas singles, including the debut of Bobby Helms' Jingle Bell Rock and Gene Autry's newly recorded version of his 1949 original Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. The best-selling pop LPs had 11 seasonal albums chart, including the debut of Elvis's Christmas album that topped the survey for 3 weeks. And Bing Crosby's all-time best-selling single, White Christmas, returned to the top 40 again in 1957 at number 34. It has charted Billboard surveys almost annually since it first spent 11 consecutive weeks at number 1 on their best-selling retail records chart in October of 1942. It reached the top spot again in 1945 for 2 more weeks and made its 14th number 1 week just after Christmas 1946. Bing's Silent Night and Silver Bells also made the Top 100 Sides chart in 1957. All 3 of those titles are included on his Merry Christmas album, which returned to number 1 just after the new year in 1958. At this time, Billboard only charted Christmas singles and albums along with the other popular non-holiday records, but that all changed, at least temporarily, for the holiday season 1958. In November of 1958, just a few days before Thanksgiving, Billboard introduced a new chart, DJ's Favorite Christmas Discs. This was composed of the records played most frequently by disc jockeys each Christmas season. The section consisted of 3 top 10 lists charting the top holiday singles, albums, and for the only time on Billboard's Christmas holiday surveys, EPs. Bing Crosby's White Christmas was the number 1 single, Percy Faith's 1954 Music of Christmas album was the number 1 LP, and Pat Boone's 1957 Merry Christmas was the number 1 EP. Unfortunately, these 3 charts were only published that one holiday season, and the next year, Billboard returned to including Christmas songs on their regular charts. Christmas music charts would not be published again until the annual Christmas records section was launched in 1963. Bing Crosby's White Christmas made its first Hot 100 appearance in 1959. Perry Como debuted his second Christmas album, Season's Greetings from Perry Como, on the Billboard's Top LPs chart just after Christmas that year. The 1960 Hot 100 had 10 holiday singles, including the debut of what would become an annual charting for Brenda Lee and Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, and the return of Nat King Cole's The Christmas Song. Bing Crosby's Silent Night also returned in 1960, and the flip side, Adeste Fidelis, also from his 1945 Merry Christmas album, made its first charting. Bobby Helms returned to the Hot 100 in 1960 with the start of an annual charting of Jingle Bell Rock. The album's Christmas Sing-Along with Mitch from Mitch Miller and Johnny Mathis's album Merry Christmas also returned to Billboard's best-selling LPs chart. The Chipmunks with David Seville followed up their Chipmunk song in 1960 with a cover of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which also charted on the Hot 100. The next year, Bobby Rydell and Chubby Checker's cover of Jingle Bell Rock and Baby's First Christmas by Connie Francis were among the Christmas songs that appeared on the Hot 100, both recharting the following year. Bing Crosby's White Christmas returned to the Hot 100 in 1961 and in 1962. Billboard's Top LPs chart had 21 holiday albums in 1962. Mitch Miller's gang peaked at number 1 again with their latest Christmas album, Holiday Sing-Along with Mitch. Bing Crosby returned with his album, Merry Christmas, and debuted his latest, at least latest at the time, I Wish You a Merry Christmas. The 1962 Hot 100 had 12 seasonal singles, including new releases like the Four Seasons cover of Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and recharting holiday standards like Nat King Cole's The Christmas Song. Obviously, there were a lot more Christmas songs and albums in the charts, on the regular charts at that time, but I just wanted to sort of give you an idea of what was going on. Billboard finally debuted their first annual Christmas records charts the next year, in 1963. Beginning at the end of November in 1963, Billboard no longer charted Christmas albums or singles on their existing music charts. For the next 10 years, those titles could only be found on their new annual best-selling Christmas records section, which was retitled Billboard's Top Christmas Sellers in 1965, and then Billboard Best Bets for Christmas in 1966 through 1973. The five-position survey ranking of top-selling Christmas singles and Christmas LP ran for 3 to 5 weeks each holiday season, expanding in size as sales activity increased. The Andy Williams Christmas album was the first number one album, and his version of White Christmas from the same album was the first number one single on this new chart in 1963. The chart size increased each holiday season until it peaked at 38 singles and 117 LPs in 1967. Beginning in 1971, the Best Bets for Christmas only ran 2 to 3 weeks a year and listed significantly less titles, with the singles chart only having 3 positions on the week before Christmas that year. Titles on these Christmas surveys did not appear on Billboard's other charts until 1973, when Please Daddy by John Denver and If We Make It Through December by Merle Haggard both appeared on the best-selling Christmas singles chart as well as on the Hot 100 and the Hot Country singles chart. Holiday albums only charted on the Best Bets for Christmas that year. Christmas music surveys were not published after the Best Bets for Christmas chart the week of Christmas in 1973 until the section continued 10 years later when it was retitled Christmas Hits. In the meantime, Billboard sporadically provided a section entitled New Christmas Selections, at least from 1974 until 1976, and that list alphabetically listed titles of holiday record albums and singles. These are just listings of new releases and not any kind of chart measuring sales or radio airplay. From 1974 until 1982, Billboard went back to charting seasonal hits and LPs only on their weekly popular music surveys, and that included things like the Eagles' 1978 cover of Please Come Home for Christmas and Dan Fogelberg's 1980 hit Same Old Lang Syne, as well as albums like John Denver's Rocky Mountain Christmas in 1975 and Kenny Rogers' album simply called Christmas in 1981. Billboard began publishing the best-selling Christmas album and single chart survey section again under the title Christmas Hits the week before Christmas in 1983. The top 10 charts ran for 2 weeks each holiday season for the next 3 years. Unlike the Best Bets for Christmas, Christmas Hits would often also chart albums to other charts, like Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton's 1984 Once Upon a Christmas and 1985's Alabama Christmas album, Alabama Christmas, both on the Top 200 Albums chart and the Top Country Albums chart. Both of those albums also made it to number one on the Christmas Hits album chart. After no holiday charts were published in 1986, the Christmas Hits section returned a couple weeks before Christmas in 1987. This time around, it was a 30-position album survey, but Billboard stopped publishing a Christmas singles chart altogether. I say altogether, but you know, you already know it's coming back. The various artists' collection, A Very Special Christmas, topped the album survey for the first 3 weeks of the new chart's return that December in 1987. Billboard published the chart for 2 consecutive weeks in 87, then in 1988 began to run the survey every other week, 2 to 3 times a holiday season. The album-only Christmas Hits section was retitled Top Christmas Albums in 1990. Barry Manilow's Because It's Christmas was the number one album for the first 2 weeks under the survey's new name. Billboard ran the chart for 5 consecutive weeks for the holiday seasons in 1991 and in 1992. In 1993, Billboard increased the survey to 7 weeks and started compiling the Top Christmas Albums chart using actual sales figures from SoundScan. I have no idea where their data came from prior to that. After a 6-week run in 1993, Billboard increased the survey size to 40 positions and began publishing the chart 7 to 10 weeks a year, starting with the 1994 holiday season. Christina Aguilera's My Kind of Christmas album topped the chart when Billboard renamed it Top Holiday Albums just after Thanksgiving in 2000. The chart size increased to 50 positions in 2002 and expanded to an 11-week run in 2006. In October of 2007, Billboard began publishing the chart for 14 to 15 weeks every holiday season. In 2022, Billboard reduced the top holiday album chart to just a 12-week run, and a year later, they shortened it to 10 weeks. But what about Christmas singles? Billboard introduced the 25-position holiday songs chart online in December of 2001. The chart differed from the discontinued best-selling Christmas singles surveys by ranking songs based solely on radio airplay detections as measured by Nielsen from adult contemporary stations and a few adult top 40 stations, most of which switched to all Christmas music or nearly all Christmas music right around Thanksgiving. The first number one holiday song on this new chart was the 1977 track Celebrate Me Home by Kenny Loggins. Initially, the chart had a 3-week run, then expanded to 6 weeks in 2002. Billboard increased the survey to 30 positions and ran the chart 6 to 9 weeks each holiday season starting in 2006. Billboard changed the name of the Holiday Songs Survey to Holiday Airplay after the launch of the Holiday 100 in 2011 and ran the charts concurrently each holiday season. At over 20 years, the Holiday Airplay chart is their longest-running holiday single or song survey and their second-longest-running holiday survey after the Top Holiday Albums chart. The Holiday Season Digital Song Sales Survey of Music Download Purchases, that's a mouthful, debuted in mid-October of 2010. Billboard published the 50-position chart for at least 12 weeks each holiday season, mostly coinciding with the Top Holiday Albums chart, until they reduced it to a 7-week run at the beginning of December 2021, and then 6 weeks concurrently with the Holiday 100 in 2022. Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You was the chart's first number one song. An increase of Christmas songs occurred on the Hot 100 in 2010 when 6 holiday songs appeared on the survey, with 4 more bubbling under the Hot 100. I think this is the first time in about 11 years since seasonal songs charted on the Hot 100 instead of just on the Christmas charts. Oh, Coldplay's Christmas Lights was the highest charting Christmas single on the Hot 100 that year, reaching number 25 on Christmas Day. In December of 2011, Billboard expanded the holiday song chart to 50 positions, reducing it back to a 5 to 6 week run and renamed it Holiday Airplay. The newly reconfigured Hot Holiday Songs, like the Hot 100, ranked holiday tracks based on a formula blending airplay, download sales, and streaming data as tracked by Nielsen Entertainment. The 50-position chart survey ran for 5 to 6 weeks each year. A week before Christmas in 2013, Holiday Songs was expanded to 100 positions and renamed the Holiday 100. Billboard began publishing their 25-position holiday streaming songs chart in December of 2013. The survey ran for 5 to 6 weeks concurrently with the Holiday 100 each holiday season. The chart size increased to 50 positions in 2016. This chart measured the top streamed holiday radio songs, on-demand songs, and videos from the leading U.S. online music services. Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You has been number one for 47 inconsecutive weeks on the survey. Besides Mariah's hit, the only other songs that have topped the holiday streaming songs charts have been Pentatonix's Mary Did You Know, Ariana Grande's Santa Tell Me, and most recently, Brenda Lee, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. In 2022, Billboard launched the Holiday 100 Songwriters and Producers charts that ran during the same seasonal period as the Holiday 100. The weekly 25-position charts are based on points accrued by a songwriter and a producer, respectively, for each attributed song. They joined Billboard's 26 other songwriter and producer rankings, covering the Hot 100 and all the other hot named genre charts, including Christian, country, dance, electronic, gospel, Latin, R&B, hip-hop, rap, rock, alternative, and hard rock. On the inaugural Hot 100 Songwriters Survey, Johnny Marks, who passed away in 1985, was number one for 7 songwriting credits on the Holiday 100. Lee Gillette, who died in 1981, topped the inaugural Holiday 100 producers chart for 7 production credits. Both have held their number one positions for the 12 weeks each chart has run. And I think that's all of them. But that should give you a pretty idea about why some albums and songs appear on the Christmas charts and some don't. Does it all mean anything? Well, I'm sure it does to the artists. And traditional radio stations use the charts for their airplay, even though their airplay is used in part to create the charts. And it does matter to the fans, who enjoy seeing their favorite artists make it to the top, or at least near the top of some of the charts. And in some cases, it's a thrill just to see your favorite artists on the charts at all. I pay attention to the charts to make sure I haven't missed anything, but I don't always agree with them. And sometimes I don't add songs, even though they are on the charts. Something to keep in mind is that a song might appear on one Billboard's charts one December and never show up again. That doesn't mean the charts are wrong, or that anyone else is wrong. It happens with other charts, too. Songs make a splash on the charts and then disappear without a trace. Here's what I think is the most obvious example. Elmo and Patsy's Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. It spent the most weeks at top of the Christmas hit singles chart during the 1980s, more than any other Christmas single. Yet by the 90s, few radio stations continued to play it, and that continued to drop off even to today. Combining data from several of Billboard's Christmas charts, the DJ's favorite Christmas discs, Christmas records, top Christmas sellers, best bets for Christmas, and Christmas hits, in total, those single surveys ran for 46 weeks and charted at 134 different titles from 1958 until 1985, and Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer was the 4th highest charting single during the entire period. Now, I'm not taking a shot at Elmo and Patsy or their record. It's just the most obvious example I could come up with to show how a song that rides high on the charts doesn't necessarily mean it will be around later. I think Billboard's charts, along with Apple's and Spotify's charts and many others, are great ways to discover Christmas music that you might have missed. And if you're a Christmas music fan, and you probably are since you're listening to this podcast, I encourage you to check out those charts and see if there's something that you missed that you really want to have, or at least really want to listen to. Anyway, thanks so much for listening to this podcast, helping me share some Christmas spirit, and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I already told you how to listen to the station, and you're listening to the podcast now, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page that lists most, if not all, of the sites that stream the Sounds of Christmas podcast. And I'll put a link to that down in the show notes. So you can click on that, find your favorite site, and click on over. Then subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. And if you're listening to this episode on your phone, you can also click the Send Us a Text Message link and connect that way. Thanks again. And may you always believe in Santa Claus.